Okay. Well, thank you, Akiva. Yes, Akiva reminded me about the Chazanish. I'm grateful. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin brought to you Meretz HaKodesh is daf Chavav, but as I mentioned yesterday, there was something I really wanted to share about the issue that the Chazanish raises yesterday. It's very interesting. So we had this big machlokas, remember, between Reb Yehuda and Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov and Reb Yos. Fine. So this was the question of whether, in terms of the dinim of moch, katut, natuk, v'charut, are we talking about testicles or are we talking about penises, right? And this was the three-way shitas. Now, the rule is, this is very interesting, is the rule is that, in general, we have a klal. If there's a machlokas Reb Yehuda v'Reb Yosi, halachic Reb Yosi. Not to mention the fact that, remember, we also have a klal that Mishnas Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov kav v'noki. So, okay, there is a question about whether Mishnas Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov kav v'noki applies only literally to a Mishnah, or whether it applies also to a Braisa, which is discussed over here, whether we should paskin like Reb Dafka, like Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. But the amazing thing is that the Rambam paskins like Reb Yehuda, which is against both shitas, and he posits both klolim, I should say, and this his psak is that kulo bebeitzim is what it's talking about. So the Kesef Mishnah asks, so why exactly does the Rambam do this against the klolim? So he says, l'fishim istaver taimai shel Reb Yehuda. So therefore, the Rambam paskened like him because it's more mistaber that it's not considered to be a something that's not begolui. People don't view testicles as not begolui for because it is begolui in that sense. Okay, so it's mistaber taimai. So now here's this fascinating chazanish. This chazanish, I mean, we don't have to mention it here because it comes up again and again in the writings of the chazanish that he has a klal, which is that his lashon over here is you'll see the way that he thinks about it. V'chi kayach b'yadenu lintot michlola de gemara b'svara achar chatimata talmud v'hachra'a b'in tana'im v'amora'im lo nitna el ad ravina v'ravashi k'diyama ravashi v'ravina sofora. So his shita is that there is no way that we can in any way deviate from the klole hapsak, because the whole idea of seif hera is that the last best, and this of course Rambam himself explains the whole uniqueness of the Gemara and why it is that nobody has the keach to actually be chelek in a Gemara. So the Chazanish explains, so if Heira is also the way that the Psak comes out. So if Rav Ashi, Ravina, and Seif Heira, so what's the, because the Mishnah is saying that the Rambam decided he's the Seif Heira and that he has a right to be Machria between Tanoim and Amoraim. So therefore, the Chazanish has a whole different approach, like he does all over where this happens. And he brings a raya, but he explains the entire Gemara differently according to the Rambam, such that the entire sugya works out that the stab sugya is going the way the Rambam paskins. Now, the question is whether this general statement of the Chazanish is accepted by everyone, that these going against these klolim would be usur, or not usur, but it would be silly because you don't have the keach of a hero. The question is that there's lots of places where we find that many of the Rishonim and the Rosh and the Rif and the Ran and the Rabbeinu Yona, they say things like Mistaver Taimi on a Man D'Omer in the Gemara, and they use their own Hachra. There's also, even though it's not in the Ramban itself, but the Ran brings from the Ramban that he was Semech on this. And I mean, there's the Ridvaz who also explains in his, he has a small analysis called the Shonos HaRambam. And he says that this is typical of the Rambam. And that the problem is that we find the same thing is true in cases where Tanoim are Muchra'im Ayadei Amoraim. That we definitely find, even though they're not. They were kabbal on themselves. As the Kesef Mishnah says not to be chelik on Tanoim. So, you know, we have Baha Zichnuhu ex L'Rabbanan, right? So normally Paschal like Rambam, we often find that Lashon. Rava says so-and-so is this proves it. We just had it. So what's interesting is that the Ritva writes that these klolos apsak are not absolute klolos, and that they're basically describing rov. They're not saying that always this is the way you have to pasuk, which undoes the entire thing from the very beginning. But anyway, I just thought that it was interesting to mention that one should know that it's not so poshet that it's impossible to find that a Rishon was machria because of his svara, that this is more reasonable and so on. Now, it's definitely not reasonable that on Friday morning we're holding by Shkia already, so let me do a little change there. There we go. That's more reasonable. Okay, so we're holding now at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Chavav, and let's go for it. Says the Mishnah, Nechasim Shiyeshlem Achrayut Niknin. When we talk about Nechasim Shiyeshlem Achrayut, remember what we're referring to is real estate. And the reason that we call real estate Nechasim Shiyeshlem Achrayut is because it's considered to be, as we say, a toes safer, sofer. If somebody doesn't include in a shtar the fact that he is going to pay back the individual who bought his real estate, he provides him insurance on that sale, because remember, if somebody has a lien against him, so then that lien is chal on his real estate. So let's say you buy property from someone else, and that person had taken out a loan, and there's a lien against this property to cover the loan, so it's mortgaged. So obviously you need to be reimbursed if somebody takes it away from you after you paid good money for it. That's called achrayut nechasim. So we refer, therefore, to real estate in that way. Nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut. So that, the kinyan is kesef, shtar, v'chazaka. Ma she'en kein metaltalin. Now, up until now, we were talking about the Balei Chaim, which could be have different issues in terms of Mesira and so on. But over here, Metatlan Stam, Ein Niknin Ela B'Meshicha, you can only be koneh them by Meshicha, which doesn't mean literally Meshicha over here, obviously, because, I mean, essentially, you can certainly do Hagbah, and according to Rashi, wherever you can do Meshicha, if there's Mesira, you're talking about an animal, and according to Rashi, B'Pashtas, the meaning is that he hands over the reins. So that Meshicha just means over here that the, as we're going to see, that we replace the din of Kesev with the fact that you need to do an actual physical kinyan on it. That's all that it means. Doesn't mean specifically Meshicha. Nechatzim she'en lem achrayut. There's also another totally different way of being kaina, and this is called kinyan agav, remember. So that if somebody buys at the same time, meaning there's metaltalin that he's buying together with nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut. Let's say he buys your field, and he also wants to buy your plow, right? He wants to buy a lawnmower together with your house. Is the lawnmower included in the sale of the house? How would you be kona the lawnmower? So this is called the kinyan agav. Once you do the kinyan bekesef shtar v'chazaka on the real estate, anything that was made with the sale together with that real estate and the agreement is automatically nikne agav, the kinyan of the karka. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss whether that means that it's necessarily on the karka at the time of the kinyan or not necessarily on the karka. We'll get to that in a moment. But this kinyan agav would be chal bekesev, bishtar, bechazaka. And there's another opposite thing, namely, normally the halacha is that ein nishba'in ala karkaot. So the opposite, or I shouldn't say the opposite, the mirror image of the idea of kinyan agav, where the karka drags along the metaltalin, is vice versa. When it comes to a shvuah, so let's say you have an argument between people of moedah b'miksas. And so normally, if the issue is karka, then the Torah wasn't mechayev a shvua in the event that someone has made a b'miksas. But suppose the argument was about karka and metaltalin. So over there we have the concept of zoikikin. Zoikikin means that once you need to swear, if there's an element of metaltalin, then you would need to take a shvua on the karka as well. So it's sort of the metaltalin dragging along the karka in terms of the chiyuv of shvua, and the karka drags along the metaltalin in terms of kinyan agav when you're doing kinyoni. Beautiful. So zokikin et anechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut lishava aleihem. So these other nechasim she'en lehem achrayut are actually zokekin, they drag along, and they're mechayev you to take a shvua. Okay, so we said bekesef. How do we know bekesef? Now, you'd think that the answer is very simple, because after all, we have the same raya that we had by kedushin, right? Natati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni. Why don't we go back and prove it from the same place that we had brought originally the kinyan kesef by this Maarat HaMachpelah? So Tosfos says we can't bring a raya from there because remember over there we're talking about buying from a goy, and the din is, as we saw earlier, that kol kinyan ayam bekesef. Therefore, you cannot make that the marker of kinyan sodas. So we go directly to the pasuk of sodot bekesef yiknu. Now remember, this was the whole story of Yirmiyo, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people to have faith that they were going to Bavel and to Golis, but that there was still going to be very shortly, there would be real estate dealings in Eretz Yisrael, and that anything that they do now is going to be have to be written up and put into a shtar, and they have to keep it in a place where they're going to have access to the shtar in just a few short years, 70 years, what's that, and so on. So he had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Yirmiyo go through a real estate deal with his, in Anatot, with his cousin. Anyway, so it says over there that there will still be Sadot Bakesev Yiknu, and that the future is coming, and that Klal Yisrael will be back here, and they're going to be buying these fields. Okay, but meanwhile, it says Bakesev. So clearly, Kesev is the Kenyan. Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't say only Kesev is the Kenyan. At the end of the Pasuk, it says, where Yaakov Shbochu tells Yirmiyo specifically how to go through this deal, it says, V'chatuv b'sefer v'chatom, write it in a shtar, and sign it, and then put it into these containers, and make sure that it's waterproof, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, maybe it means together. In other words, give the money, and then actually write out a shtar. Iktiv, you're 100% right. If it would have said at the end, Iknu, Kesev, Basada, is Bekesev, Ubichtiva, Besefer, Iknu, fine. Then that would have been Labesov, you would have been right. But it says, first it says, Bekesev, Iknu, period. So that means that the Kenyan was done with the Kesev, in which case, the fact that it's written up in a shtar, obviously I need to have a record of it, but that's a raya, not a Kenyan. So the whole point is maintain your documentation in a way that it's going to last through the 70 years. That's documentation. That's not the actual chalos of the Kenyan. And that's what it means. So the kesev is the Kenyan. The shtar is the documentation of the Kenyan, which is essentially raya bi'alma. Omar Rav, this idea is certainly true. In other words, theoretically speaking, you're always able to be kind of a kesef. However, in practical terms, in a place where people generally write shtarot, then you should know that we cannot assume that the kinyan was done with kesef, unless they specifically said so. Because the das of the kinyan is only complete. And remember that a very fundamental part of kinyanim is smichut da'at. We feel that the person has a completely accepted the kinyan, the transaction, relies on it. But in a place where people always get documentation, they don't rely on the kesef itself. So they begin to think of the documentation as the actual kinyan. And since we'll see, there is an actual kinyan bishtar. So in that case, the kesef will not be kaina. Therefore, says Rav, when do we say this halacha that kesef all by itself is kaine? That's leishan ala b'makam she'in kotvim et ashtar, and people are not waiting for ashtar before they have gemiras das. Avo b'makam she'kotvim et ashtar lo kana. Unless you said so beferish, ve'iparish. I mean, if you say it openly, you make a stipulation, listen, the kinyan is chal immediately upon giving the money. Okay, then, I mean, any tonight b'moment works, and then parish. And we had an actual maaser like this, that Ravidi Barovin, he used to make certain that he keeps his options open. So Kizovin Ara, when he would buy karka, he would make a condition that if I determine that I want to be kona with the kesef that I gave, then we're agreed that that will be a kinyan. And if I determine that I want to be semichomi on the shtar, then I will only be kainah with the shtar. And they agree on that. Now, why did he do that? Because he was very smart. He said, look, iba ina bekesev ikne. So that would cover him in the event that the seller wants to change his mind. Let's say the guy gets a better deal, right? And Ravini Baravin had already paid money. So if it's a location where normally you would only be kainah by shtar, so then the seller could say, well, I'm sorry, I'll give you back your money because I got a better deal, right? But he doesn't want the seller to be able to do that. So because of that, he stipulates that I should be able to be kainah. If I decide I want to be kainah with the money, that takes the option away from you, Mr. Seller, and you can't change your mind. On the other hand, so iba itu l'mahadir, if you want to change your mind, l'matzita adritu, you can't because you already took the money. On the other hand, I make this other stipulation that if I decide I want to actually purchase this with the shtar that will come only at the end, that's in order to ensure that he can change his mind if he gets a better deal. And therefore, what he's saying is, if I want to change my mind, I can. And you'll have to give me my money back. So in other words, we see clearly over here, though, that you can make a beferish stipulation as to how it is that you want to be kainah. Okay, excellent. Talking once again to a wall. It's like the Vietnam wall they have in Washington, you know, with a bunch of names. I'm assuming all of the people that are written on this wall. I mean, we should put a little American flag on the side or maybe a cross. I don't know, like, what this is supposed to mean. You know, Richie, I remember Richie. Yeah, that was good days. Richie. Oh, look at this. Look at this. All right.
Please drink some beer.
I don't know what Richie is serving today. I don't know if he's serving beer. Here we go. We got Naftali. Oh, my gosh. The beginner's there. Amazing. Now, this makes my day. Okay. So now I got the energy to go on. All right. So
it's N plus.
Ubishtar. So the next thing we said, you can be kainah with a shtar. How do you know you can be kainah with a shtar? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking we're going to be able to jump right into it by bringing the pasuk we had before. Namely, v'chatov b'sefer v'chatom v'edeidim. So it says, write a shtar, get it signed, and so on, right? But you said a minute ago, and hold on a minute. You said a minute ago that clearly that shtar is only a shtar raya. It's not a shtar mecher because it says, Pakesev Yiknu up front, and then only afterward. What would be the point if you already cut a Pakesev, write the shtar, unless the shtar is merely documentation? So then we can't bring a raya from here that the shtar actually achieves the etzem acquisition, right? Elamihacha. So therefore, the place is indeed still in Yirmiyahu. However, he talks about a kinyan. This is his personal kinyan. The Shtadus Bekesev Yiknu was the message to Klal Yisrael. But his personal kinyan was done with a shtar because he says, V'ekachet Sefer HaMikneh. What's a Sefer HaMikneh? Sefer Kritut defines the Sefer. Sefer HaMikneh defines the Sefer. This is a shtar that achieves kinyan. Excellent. So we see from Yirmiyahu as well, both kinyanim, Kesev v'shtar. This is all very nice that you can be kena with a shtar, but that's talking about where it's a gift. So there's nothing else that is going to be in your mind that you're not going to be gamer das. If it's a gift, it's a gift. I'm not waiting for any money to pass hands. But if you're talking about a shtar mecher, you cannot assume that the makne, the seller, that he is really happy 100% to forgo all rights when he hasn't seen any cash. So if this guy owes him the money, then the shtar mecher, we cannot assume that that is considered to be in and of itself an actual kinyan. Just like you said, that in the case of Kesev, we don't assume that we have the Das Mak, the Das Kena in that case until he gets his shtar. The same thing is true over here and in the inverse. We don't have the Das Makne guaranteed until he knows that he's got his money. Is that true? Masi v'vamnuna against Shmuel. Here it says in the Braita like this. We had this before. B'shtar ketzat. So how are you Kena property with a shtar? Kotev lo al niyar al acheres. Remember these very important words. He wrote it, even though it's not worth any money. We had that whole discussion that the kesef and the acheres is not worth the shavar pruta. And you write sadi mechuralacha or sadi netunalacha. So this is mechura or netuna. Okay, so then it means that the braita talks out the difference between mechira and nesina. One obviously is a reference to a shtar matana. The other is a shtar mecher, and it works in both cases. That's what it says. So how could Shmuel say there's a difference between a shtar matana and a shtar mecher? And he realized himself, Rav Hamnuna, today he wasn't a kar nuna, so the Rav Hamnuna, but it worked out the answer himself of who Moisiv Lav, who Mefarik Lav. It's talking about over here that the guy has managed to, he's been trying to dump this field for the past 20 years. He finally got, you know, there's a sucker born every 20 years. So he finally got a sucker to buy this field from him. You think he's not going to want to be transferring that field with the star alone? But the guy hasn't paid. That's all I need is he should find out what kind of lousy field this is. And he'll be out of this deal in a minute. So I'm very happy in that case to transfer my... So obviously it depends on the situation. We're not... Shmuel didn't mean to say a person is never going to be gamer daite to sell without getting money. That's not true. So here we're talking about Mocher Sadeo Mipnei Ra'ata. Ravashi Amar. Rav Ashi says, no, the Braita that's talking about Netuna Mechura, that's, you didn't understand the Braita. He wasn't talking about either or. He is actually saying both. My Sada is sold to you and is given to you. And the question is, maybe it's even two separate, as the Tosfos points out, two separate Shtarot. Why would he do such a thing? Because there's advantages in having something yours as a matana and having something yours as a mecher, you see. If you write it as a mecher, so then automatically it would be including a achrayut nechasim. Because even if it doesn't write achrayut nechasim, but we say that achrayut is tod sefer. So therefore, if you can show, if the guy comes and takes the field because he had a pre-existing lien. So now you can go back and get the money of the value of this field because of the achrayus that the ostensible seller, he wasn't really a seller, but he wrote a shtar as if he were a seller, right? So he wanted to give you that right to recoup the money from his estate and vice versa. Why would he write it out as a shtar matana if it was really a mecher? Because for that, there's great advantages in the din of a bar mitzvah. Remember, if somebody owns an adjoining property, he has, midrabanan, a right of first refusal on a piece of paper that adjoins his property, on a piece of property that adjoins his property, right? So if you would write it only as a mecher, then the next door neighbor could come and say, now, wait a minute, I have a right to buy that first, and he had no right to sell it to you. So therefore, he gives you a shtar that says, no, he didn't sell it to me, he gave it to me. He wasn't interested in giving you a gift. Why would he give you a gift? So, I mean, how could there be a right of first refusal on a gift? It's a joke. So therefore, everything works out no matter how you do it, right? Perfect. Oh, Moshe Wilshinsky has an actual maisa. You were able to buy your apartment, what, midin the bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
I don't remember the story. I remember it. Okay. Yeah. It's starting to come back. Unbelievable. Okay, excellent. So that's what it's talking about, says Shmuel, but it doesn't mean that you have options of actually selling where there's no money. Maybe that we wouldn't assume that that's Gemara's das. Okay. Then we have the third one, Kesef Shtar and Chazaka. How do we know Chazaka? Minol. Omar Chizkia, Omar Kro, Ushvu Ba'orechem Asher Tefastem. So now, Gedalia ben Achikam, this is also part of the same story with Yirmiyahu. So Gedalia ben Achikam has this conference, everybody comes to talk to him, what are we going to do? This is after the Melech Bavel sets him up, and he tells everybody, including his own murderer-to-be, which is Yishmael ben Netanyahu, so he tells them that, you know, we have an agreement with Malchus Bavel, and that I'm going to be your governor, and you can go ahead, you can farm the land if you were able to take a property that you were able to be teifes, because everything at that point was basically hefker. So you can be yeshvuba or rechem ashet fastem. You can sit there and keep it. So when it says asher tefastem ushevu, so in other words, by being yoshev in these properties, they will become your properties. Fine. So this was in the United States. What did they have? I forgot what they call that. That when they were first kind of property. What was it called?
Eminent domain.
Claiming states.
Eminent domain is a government issue. It's not. Yeah, but there was a word. There was the Housing Act. I forgot what they called it. There was a special word that you were able to stay 3 years in a place. They gave the West out to people.
Homesteading.
Thank you. Yes, homesteading. Thank you. You're driving me crazy here. All right. Fine. So that's what he was saying, that this is essentially a homesteading, except that it's chal immediately b'chazaka. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, that actually, this is, why do we got to go to Yirmiyahu? Why don't we learn it out of the actual Kinyan of Eretz Yisrael? Ki atem ovrim et ha-yardein, lavo l'reshet ha-taretz asher Adonai Eloheichem noten lachem, v'yirishtem ota v'yishavtem ba. So what do you see? Ba'meh yirashtem. Yeshiva. So you see that the Etzem Yerushas Ha'aretz is achieved by Chazaka. Fascinating. Isn't it interesting that Kesev Vishtar is learned out from the Golos and Chazaka is learned out from the Knesa to Eretz Yisrael? Wonder what that's all about, right? But there's another issue over here, which is the question of, if we're saying that the Knesa La'aretz required a chazaka, so then what I thought that the Kivush itself was considered to be a Kenyan. In other words, apparently, Kivush itself is not a Kenyan. You need, the war itself is not a Kenyan. You're going to have to go afterwards in order to make a chazaka. Obviously, it's possible that you can be mechalek between a Kenyan on a personal level and a Kenyan on a national level. Maybe there's two separate things. In other words, in order for individuals to have a Kenyan, to have their own nachala, there you need to have a specific Kenyan of karka by the person. The kivush itself, enochinami, is called a Kenyan for the tzibur in terms of kedushas ha'aretz and the dinim and so on and so forth. Because we know that if subsequently there was a kivush, if it would have been like the only problem with the Surya question, it doesn't have the full kedushas ha'aretz because, as we said before, we had the whole discussion that David HaMelech took Aram Tzova without the Sanhedrin, or according to the other shittas, before he captured the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But otherwise, Kivush itself would have been sufficient to provide a Kedushas Haaretz to all those areas. What about the Chazaka? Good, so it's very possible that we're talking about in terms of individual ownership over here. Okay, anyway, continuing. V'she'en lem achrayut, ein niknin ela b'meshicha. So where do we get the idea that kesev itself, just plain kesev, would not be enough to be kene metaltele? Minole. Tichtiv, v'chitim kiru mimkar la'amitecha, o kno miyad amitecha. So what is he talking about? Something that passes from hand to hand. Dovra nikne miyad liyad. And that type of thing, of course, is metaltelim that I'm handing over to you. And that is the way that you would actually be kain it. Miyad. You pull it from his hand and you take it into your hand. And that's called Mashicha. And what about according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that b'diraisa dvar Torah mo'ot arkonot without Mashicha? So what are you going to say according to him? He obviously is a derish pasuk like that. He holds there's one din of Kenyan. It doesn't matter whether it's metaltelim. It doesn't matter whether it's karka. So how come, I mean, the Tana is ignoring a halacha, a diraisa? The Mishnah says not like that. No, The Mishnah over here is telling us the Takana de Rabbanan. Remember, we have the Takana de Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan, in order to make certain that we don't have a situation in which people are reluctant, remember, the Rabbanan are very makbid on free-flowing business practices. That's why we have all of these takanas to make certain that the real estate market is not badly affected, the idea of liens, that you need to have a shtar, and so on and so forth. The same thing is in terms of metaltalin. If kesef would be kind of metaltalin, as it is, according to Rabbi Yochanan Midiraisa, so then would people pay before taking delivery? So can you imagine if you only, I mean, this is what the things used to be like in the U.S. when everything was COD. I don't know if you remember that kind of thing. COD means cash on delivery. So you want to get your thing, you pay for it, the guy hands it over to you. So even if you send it in a package, you know, it's not yours until you pay for it. I mean, this was like such a kvetch. You know, who's going to take the chance of sending it? Who's going to have the money? You have to be in the house. Whatever. It's like crazy. So in order to avoid that type of situation, Chazal wanted money to be a kinyan that would not get you into trouble. So why would you? So what's the problem? Can't you pay? You pay Amazon. What's wrong if you pay Amazon in advance? Why aren't you cutting it? No. Because if the kesef would be a kinyan, then you're likely to get a message from Amazon one day. We had a fire in our warehouse, and we're very sorry to inform you. Of course, they send the same message to 10 million other people, you know. So 10 million people get a message from Amazon. We're terribly sorry that your order was burnt in the warehouse fire, and we did our best to save your property, but we're very sorry. It was yours already because you were kena b'kesef, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Miniraisa kesef is kena. All of this, is, of course, is written by an AI who doesn't even know the Gemara properly. But anyway, so this would be the message that you get from Amazon. So in order to avoid that kind of situation, so we made a takona, kedei shelo yomar, you know, the barn burnt down without you bought $300,000 worth of grain. We're so sorry. Anyway, so in order to avoid that kind of situation, which would really have turned the marketplace into a COD marketplace, so we made a takana. So Tana Takanta the Rabbanan Katani. It's so wonderful to see all this, like understanding where things are going to go and how everything was taken into consideration thousands of years ago. It's like, all right. So Tana Takanta the Rabbanan Katani. Okay, the last thing we had was Kinyan Agav. So Nechasim She'en Lam Achrayut are nicknamed with Nechasim She'esh Lam Achrayut. So where do we get this from? Minon Emile. So we have a very strange pasuk. Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda was giving over all kinds of gifts to his children, and it says, "Vayitein lem aviyim matanot im arei mitzurot b'Yehuda." What? Their father said he sends his family gifts together with cities. What is that supposed to mean? That the kinyan of these gifts were done agav karka. That's the pshat. Okay, so if that's the case, now the question is, how does agav karka work? Does it work because the things that you're being makna together with the karka because they're on the karka, or just because the act of the kinyan on the karka is subsumes the kinyan on the metaltalin? But they could be on the other side of the globe. It doesn't matter. So you'd be able to be makna something without there being in your hands at this point to hand over. There would be no Mashiach or whatever. And you could still make a Kinyan Agav something else. How does it work? Now, I know what you're going to ask. That in the event that we're talking about being Makna, while it's actually on the property, then we don't need a new Kinyan of Agav. Because then you would be Kena because of Kinyan Chatzar, right? Wrong. Because remember, property is not always ipso facto a kosher chatzar to be kona. Remember that you need a chatzar mishtameret, and it's not going to be enough that it's just a chatzar, right? Not to mention the question of, this is a different the question in the achronim, does a chatzar have to be yours at the time that the thing was put in it? in order for it to be Kena. Or if the lawnmower was always part of the house, when you get the house, does that mean that the lawnmower is yours because it's now on your yard? It was on this yard when the yard wasn't yours. This, of course, reflects back to the sugyas that we had in Gittin, whether it's considered to be Tli Gitech Miagabe Karka by giving her over the Karka afterwards, with it, or whether it's considered to be an actual Kinyan Chatz. We had all these discussions earlier. Okay, but in any event, it would be a big nafkamina if Be'inan Tzvurim, do we need it to actually be on the real estate? Or is it just that the act of the Kinyan helps, even if it's on the other side of the galaxy? Omer of Yosef, this is absolutely necessary. You understand, for galactic intercourse, it's going to be very difficult to be semich on Mashiach, and therefore Kinyan Agav Kark was really instituted for the future in the event that you have a wormhole. But any event, so what are we talking about? Is it Dafka Tzvurim or not? Omer of Yosef, I'll bring you a raya. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Karka Kolshu Chayevet Pepeo Bikurun. If you have the smallest amount of karka, tiny piece of karka, it's still, if you grew something on it, then you're gonna need to leave over peah. You're gonna need to leave over bikurim. And even if it's a tiny piece of karka and it's not worth much in terms of collecting a loan, you could still write a principle. Remember, we just had this in Masechet Shviyas, that it doesn't matter. Barnea, please mute. It doesn't matter if it's a tiny piece of karka. Remember, because we had the whole pshat that you can go back. And theoretically, you could be kene. If the person gave it to you again, you can go back. Okay. But whatever this svara was, whether, I don't want to remind you. Okay, you'll remember. So anyway, but the tiny piece of karka is sufficient for prusbel. Now, if you're going to tell me that it only works, agav, if you've piled things up on the ground itself, tzavur is a tiny piece of karka. I mean, it's all very nice to talk about the elephant standing on a little pie platter, you know. But if you've got something that is really, you've got like 100 sheep that you're trying to give someone, how are you going to give them 100 sheep in a tiny piece of karka if you need tzivurim? So kolshuhu, what good is a kolshuhu for any significant kind of transaction? L'may chazi. Well, says Reb Shmuel Bar Bisna to Reb Yosef, I say, what's the problem? Suppose you're trying to sell the guy a sewing needle, you know, and you stick the needle in this karka. So if you need tzivurim, so you can still stick the needle in the karka. So then you need to know that Kinyan Agav Karka would work with a tiniest piece of karka. Amalei Rav Yosef, you give me a headache, man. You make me nauseous. Kavasta, I'm going to have stupid answers to that. You're telling me that the Tana is going away. Rav Akiva is saying that this whole deal, in order to talk about a case where a guy wants to sell a guy a needle. Come on, Omer Vashi, what's your problem exactly? I see you're obviously not married. Your wife has got a needle, which is basically this ridiculous earring with a diamond on the end that you pay $3,000 for. And now the question is, you're laughing at the fact that you would want to be makna this agav karka, because after all, what is a tiny little needle worth? I got news for you. So man lemalan de lo talaba marganita. How do you know what's not a needle with a little pearl on the end of shavya alfei zuze? What are you laughing at me for? Tashma, Omar Reb Elazar. I'll bring you a raya from an actual event as to whether you need for everything to be in the karka or whether it's just a theoretical transfer together with the karka. So Omar Reb Elazar, there was a maisa with this guy from Madon. Now, Madon is actually in Barnea's neighborhood, but he denies it because Madon is a lotion of bad things happening, right? So this guy came from Madon, and he was a Madoni Echad. How many friends do you have from Madon, Barnea? So there was a Maiseh b'Madoni Echad Shaya b'Yerushalayim, who had a lot of metaltalim, and he wanted to give them away as a matana. So b'Kashrut nem b'matana. So he came to Beis Din, and he asked them, so how would I be able to give all of this stuff here in Yerushalayim? I got all my stuff in Madon. So they told him, look, there's nothing you can do here. If you're talking about transferring metaltalim, you don't have the metaltalim. So then all you can do is you can be maknin the metaltalim agabi kark. So what did he do? He goes and he buys, alach v'lakach beit sela, samuch li Yerushalayim, He buys. Now, we assume that the meaning of a Beit Sela is a tiny piece of property the size of a Sela, which, of course, you can't put anything on, right? So he goes and he buys it, and he says, okay, the cell phone part of this I'm giving to Mr. So-and-so, together with 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine, and then he gives the various parts of it, you know, the south part, the north part, and so on, and he died before they were able to actually take this. So, v'kimu et devarav. And they said, yes, okay, it's chal. Now, the only, okay, fine, I don't want to go into the issues, which we'll get to later. V'iyam rebi inan tzivurim, if you're going to tell me that you have to actually put the 100 sheep and the 100 kegs, and you're ready to say that the case is that he had the property, but he wanted to give it to somebody who wasn't able to be moshech now. So, can you tell me, please, how it would be possible to put all of this stuff on a Beit Sela? Beit Sela l'may chazi? No, come on, what do you think Beit Sela means? That it was the size of a Sela? That's not the point. It means Beit Sela, he bought a piece of rocky property is what it means. Because he wasn't interested in farming the property. He wanted a piece of junk that was there for one purpose only, for him to be able to give away pieces of it so that he could put his metatolin on it. So it could be, it was a very big piece of land. I don't know. It was got plenty of room. We call it Beit Sela because it was useless for agriculture, so it was very cheap. So the Kashik Sela, maybe that's what it means. It doesn't mean it was the size of a Sela. All right, I got another story for you. Toshma. There was a guy who got sick in Yerushalayim. Now, if I'm telling you this, so then I'm telling you this, Aliba Reb Eliezer, and he's Dafka talking about that he's sick. And some say, no, he wasn't sick, but that's going according to Rabbanan, because there's a big machlokas over here, which is that the Divrei Shchiv Meira are... You don't need a kinyan, right? They're serving mesurim dami. So it's only if you hold that the shchiv meira can't give over something just with his dibur. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, normally you can't do that. He doesn't hold k'ksuvim mesurim unless it's on Shabbos, and therefore the guy will go crazy if he doesn't have any way of making a kinyan, and he may end up dying because of his psychological stress and so on. Fine. Okay, so that's totally the machlokas of whether Divrei Shchiv Meira, but whatever it is. So we're talking about a guy who was sick, and therefore he still, according to Rabbi Eliezer, during the week would still need to make a kinyan. Or some say he wasn't sick. That's going according to Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbanan, and according to this, he was unable to have the option of just saying it because a bari can't just say it. So he also had a large metaltalin that he wasn't able to give over, and he wanted to give it over as a matana. And what can I do? And he asked the chachamim, and they told the same issue we had before. Ein lo takona, chiaknema, gabikarka. There's nothing to do if you've got this large nachala you want to give over of metaltalim. You have to give it over with karka. So what did he do? He went and he bought a Beit Rova. Now, a Beit Rova is, it's not absolutely nothing. It's basically about 10 by 10 amas. So then he said, okay, so now I'm going to take one tefach by one tefach. I'm going to give it to Mr. A, another tefach, I'm going to give it to Mr. A. And he goes through all of the hundreds of people he wants to give it by giving each one a one square tefach. And each one of them gets 100 son and 100 barrels of wine. And there too, he dies before he was able to make certain that they would take possession through Mashiach. V'kimu chachomim es devarav. And the chachomim said, yes, then this is a perfectly valid kinyan. Now, how the heck could you put on one tefach by a tefach, how could you put 100 sheep? That doesn't make any sense. So obviously, it doesn't have to actually be on the property itself. That's what you see from here. By the way, there's an interesting question because we have that klal, remember, according to some, that is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-beit. So why does it say that they're only mekayim es dvarav because he managed to do this? And if he didn't do this, So he said he wants to transfer it, and then he gets a heart attack. So isn't there a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meit? Apparently not. And that's because the mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meit is when he leaves a tzava that this is what I want you to do, not when he's doing it in some way that whether it's going to be effective or not effective. That's not called mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meit. This is very nogea, because you'll have very many cases in practical terms where you know that someone was nifter, wanted to, was trying to achieve something and so on. That doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah l'kayim what he wanted to do. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara, who's to say that when he was talking about putting 100 sheep and going, no, it does not have to be ketuv, putting 100 sheep or 100 kegs of wine, that means that he wanted to put the actual sheep and wine? No, it means the value. He says, I want to give a gift of 100 sheep and 100 kegs of wine. And what he means is, of course, that he's going to put the money down. So he put the money down. How do I get the money to these people? So the Chachamim told him, you want to give them the cash. The only way to get them the cash is to put it on a piece of land. Maybe they told him he does have to put it on the piece of land. I don't know. How much land does it take to hold $1,000 in cash? Not very much. So Chinami Mistavra. Because, look, if it meant literally Me'etzona, Me'achaviyot, why did they tell him you don't have any options? Of course he has options. He could always do it with Khalifin. I mean, to go and buy land at the Tremont, that's ridiculous. So it must be that we were talking about cash. He had cash. You can't give cash for Khalifin. You can only use Shava Kesef for Khalifin, so therefore there wasn't any other option. So indeed, we made a mistake. It's clearly talking about cash, right? No, I mean, so if you're talking about cash, then why can't you just pick up the cash? I don't understand. So let people pick it up. What do you mean, let people pick it up? The people weren't here. Isn't that the whole point? So, Ella de Lesse le Mekabo Matana. Okay, but if you're going to say that they weren't there, so then that's why you didn't do Khalifin. It was the same reason. Are you going to be Khalifin if the guy isn't there? You have to do the exchange. So, if you're telling me they're not there to take the cash from his hand, he's giving it to them, so they're not there for Khalifin also. Well, I mean, why do we say there's no options? I mean, all you need to do is ask a guy, right? Sir, would you mind being zoche in this for so and so? You know, because zoche nonim shalom b'funav. You want to give him 100 sheep? Here, take this and let's be kena it by you taking it for him. No, wait a minute over here. I don't trust people. Yeah, right. The last time I said be zoche for so and so never got it, and then I watched the guy smoking the whole thing up himself. I ain't gonna give it to somebody I don't know. The guy's going to eat it up himself. No way. Okay, so when they said, ein lo takana, I mean, he certainly has takana, theoretically. When ein lo takana means they seem to be saying that there's no halachic solution. No, there is halachic solution. It doesn't mean there's no halachic solution. It means, in practical terms, you're too nervous to ask somebody to be zocha. So lo samchadaita, ein lo takana. If you're not willing to rely on anybody else, then there's nothing you can do. You're going to have to go out and buy land and transfer with the land. Tashma. Okay, what about this famous Mishnah where Rabbi Gamliel was with the Zakenim and they were all going on the ship and Rabbi Gamliel all of a sudden remembered, oh my God, we got a real problem. I left things and I didn't take off Meiser and I didn't give anybody the Rishos to give Meiser over there and they're going to assume, I mean, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I'm not supposed to leave anything that wasn't Meiser. How the heck am I going to take off Meiser now? This is the situation according to Rashi. But there's an alternative. The alternative is, as Tosis explains, that we're talking about that came to the time for Bior Maisreis, and they hadn't realized he's going to be away for so long. These were trips that, remember, that we talk about the Chachomim, and that they used to travel in order to deal with the Romans, and they had to negotiate things with them anyway. So it ended up taking forever. You know, it was like trying to get to see Biden, you know. So it took forever. And because of that, they were coming back late. And now he's not going to be able to say, Biarti HaKadosh Min HaBayit. He's not at home. How am I going to do it? That was the question. So he says to the Zakenim that were with him, we'll see, that he was very fortunate to have with him Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya was a Levi. So he was going to give now the Meiser, all the Meiser, to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. Now, L'chora, we have a raya from here that the Barnea's neighbor doesn't include Sfinois, because otherwise he obviously would have given things to Barnea. I mean, that's the one that would always be there. What did he have to go to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya? Okay, this is a question. Barnea will have to deal with this issue. But anyway, so what he said was, Amalam Rabbi Yehoshua, so I have a great idea. Iser shani atid lamut. So they were semech now on the Ibrera. So the 10th that I'm going to select as my Maaser Rishayin, I am giving it to Yehoshua, meaning Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya, and he was together with him. And I want to give it to him so that that way I took it away from the house. And Mikomo Muskarlo, I'm giving him, he should give me a penny. Okay, so they do a transaction of Schiros. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya gives him a penny to lease the property on which it's on. Mikomo Muskarlo. And therefore, with the rental, that's a kinyan of karka. So he's also going to be kind of this with agav. And then there's Maiser Ani also. I'm going to measure that when I get back home. But with Brera, I'm giving it to Akiva ben Yosef, because Rabbi Akiva, after all, he was the one who was in charge of the various aniim all over. And I'm giving it to him so that he should be zeichet through obviously on behalf of the aniyim, because he's the gabai, everybody's semech on him, and Mekomo Muskarlo. Anyway, so you see that he had to give him the same place. Why do you have to give him the same place? So Shema Mina Bein and Zvurim Ba. L'chayr, that means that it actually has to be on that same place. If it's not in the same place, he's not going to be able to be Machmed Agav Karkas. Why does he have to say Mekomo? That's not a raya. I mean, he might have said this just to be nice, because what he was thinking is, you know, if it's in my house, Rabbi Akiva is going to come home. The first thing he's going to feel he has to do is, oy vey, poor Rabbi Gamliel's wife is probably going crazy with all of this stuff lying around. I have to run over there and I have to get it. No, you don't have to run over. There's no rush. It's okay, the Mokum is Musker. Maybe that's all that he was thinking. I mean, put it past Rabbi Gamliel to worry about Rabbi Akiva's running and needing to take it. So he did that. He did that basically, you know, just to be nice. That certainly would make sense, right? So, okay. So therefore, we don't really have any kind of raya. We'll see tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, when we learn together, which we'll have the Ish E.T. in a moment telling us when that's going to be, but I just want to tell you a very fascinating. I mean, this is Reb Reuven Margolios, he is always so imaginative and so creative. So this mice over here that we find very often that we're talking about here. We're talking about it's Erev Pesach, right? Because it's the time of Biur Maisers. That's Taisvus Shita. And we find that this group of Chachamim always would travel together, right? So now, if it's Erev Pesach, and he's worried about Rabbi Akiva needing to run and take this stuff, so then maybe, this is ingenious, maybe, says Reb Reuven Margolios, this answers the beautiful question of the Maariv Chiyas, because he asks, why was Rabbi Eliezer together with Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak? I understand everybody was together, but Rabbi Eliezer, he was the one who said, Mishabeach ani et atzlanim. I don't hold the people leaving their homes for Yontif. She'enam yotzim b'batehem b'regel. How did he leave? Because we know that he lived in Lud, it says Beferish in Sanhedrin. How did he go from Lud to Bnei Brak to be in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Maisa Shoya Yashvim, and they were sitting in Big Misaper in Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kolos Alayla. Well, how did he leave the house? Ah, but now it makes sense, because what happened is he was on this boat, because we find that they used to go together. It was Erev Pesach, because obviously we needed this emergency treatment, according to Tosfos, to be able to be out to Biur Maisers, which that's your chance, is Erev Pesach. They must have come in right before Pesach, ran to Bnei Brak from Yafo, you know, it's very near, and they just made it in time for everybody to be together, to be Eisek, V'yitzias Mitzrayim, Kolo Selayla. I knew you'd enjoy that one, it's so adorable. Okay, so now the man of the hour. please give us your psak.
Oh, just passing it along. It's 7:31.
Just passing it along? I thought you were the Ish E.T. Anybody can pass it along. You mean you're not in charge? Oh, my gosh. And here I'm going around all over the world. I'm bragging. We've got the guy. Oh, my gosh. Please don't tell anybody. All right.
Anyway, 7:31.
7:31. So then I think that we could be zeicha to learn at 8:30 this week. Is that, will that be enough time? Is 8:30 okay for everyone? Yes? Doc doesn't seem happy. I think he's afraid it gives too much time for us to eat up all the food, and then there's not going to be any leftovers. Is that the problem? All right, I think we're okay then. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Yes?
I'm sorry I missed the Chazanish in the beginning. I was looking forward to it. But Yavne also has its port, Yavne Yam. And when they put Rabbi Lezer and the Chayram and the Rabbi Gamliel in the boat, I wanted to suggest, because he just went out the Yavne port. Right?
Okay, you and Rabbi Reuven Margolius. This is, listen, I mean, it's obvious that this is the daf for Rabbi Reuven Margolius, because this is the case of the earring with the pearl on it, right? So it makes sense.
Good point.
Two goes
together.
Okay, everyone. It's wonderful to see you. I'm so grateful that everyone is here. Bezrat Hashem, looking forward to tomorrow, 8:30. Bezrat Hashem, after a wonderful Shabbos with Besuras Teves and Yeshua Hashem, Kerev Ayin. Kol Tov, everyone.